Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. And we've talked about baptism, that there were two different kinds of baptism, one that Herod offered and one that John the Baptist offered. John the Baptist's baptism was the result of years of teachings amongst the Essenes who were returning. The Essenes were known as the Washers by some. Nobody even knows where the name Essene even came from. There's over 60 different theories on where the word Essene came from. They weren't called and didn't call themselves Essenes normally, but some historical writers started using that term, and so it kind of stuck on them. But they had been trying to clean up their act. Washing was about cleaning up your act. We had done it at Mount Sinai. And the baptism of John the Baptist was telling you that if you have a need, if you have some sort of difficulty where you need help, then you look to your brothers, you look to one another, and those that have share with those that don't have enough. He says, if you have two coats and your neighbor has none, share. Do the same in meats. Herod had a baptism that was based on signing up, and he would make sure that everybody paid their fair share. Everybody contributed. They sacrificed accordingly. That sacrifice was called Corban. It filled the treasuries of Herod. The word Corban is even translated treasury in the Bible. It appears a couple times in the New Testament, once as Corban, which nobody really knows what that means. But somehow or other, it was making the word of God to none effect, that people would do no more ought for their parents, for their father, for the family. Why? Because they could get benefits from the temple treasury through the synagogues, and they would provide for the elderly. And they would say, I've already given Corban, I've already given my sacrifice to the treasury, and so then now you must get that from, if you need help, you get it from them. You get it from the government, through the temples of the government. And we have on our website at preparingyou.com detailed articles as to what they were doing in all these temples, because see, Rome had a Corban also. Now, their Corban used to be based on free will offerings and sacrifice, but by that time in history, their Corban had become a part of a taxation system through their temples. You had to join one of these social welfare systems. We show in our article on the conflict of Christianity, Christian conflict, on preparingyou.com, that the Christians were being persecuted often because they would not join the social welfare systems of different nations like the Corinthians, the Romans. And when Rome was making it compulsory and outlawed any private religion, religion being how you take care of the needy, you know, the widows and orphans and needy of your society, pure religion is to do that unspotted by the world. And they use specifically there in the context where James says what pure religion is, he uses the word that means constitutional order or system of government. In other words, the Christians took care of one another by faith. Why did Jesus turn over the tables of the money changers with his string whip? We've talked about that. His string whip was a way in which to put it on their shoulders and say, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. How is a string whip going to chase these men out? Well, it was because Jesus was king, and only the king could fire the porters of the temple. Actually, the high priest could bring charges against them as well. But the king had the power to say, you're fired, and soldiers here, men with swords, men with spears, will see to it they will escort you out. You're fired. You're not going to set up table here. Porters of the temple received the sacrifices of the people. They took a clip, which in the month of Adar would have been millions of dollars in silver. And now they weren't going to collect that because Jesus fired them as king of Judea in Jerusalem. He fired the porters. He wasn't angry. He was righteous. He wasn't upset. He was righteous. He didn't tip over the tables. He turned over the responsibility of the tables to other men. But the king was not to elect new porters. That was to be done at Pentecost through the tens, hundreds, and thousands, which John the Baptist had been setting up and which Jesus had continued that process as a minister of John the Baptist. That's why he went to John to be baptized. That's why John said, this is the one to come after me. Yet John did not yet know Christ was king, because he had to send messengers to Christ to say, are you the one? He knew he was a holy man. He knew he was a great man. He knew him since he was born. He leaped in the womb at the presence of Christ. But to connect in the gray matter, the brain, to finally get it. And of course, he knew. That's why Jesus didn't answer the question. Go tell him what you see. He knew. He knew John knew. John. That's why John was asking. But, you know, we want confirmation. And so you say you believe in Jesus. Where's the confirmation? Are you setting the tables of the Lord? Have you, together in your congregations, gathered together to serve one another, to make offerings, to take care of the needy of your society and church? Or do you just go to church to feel good and then expect men who exercise authority one over the other to provide the benefits of your society? Because Christ said it was not to be that way with you. It isn't to be that way with the church. And if you believe in Christ, then why are you going to men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor so that you can have free education, free health care, free welfare, all kinds of wonderful benefits? Now, do I want to do away with that? No, absolutely not, because many of you sinners out there need that. Many of you who have not yet learned the ways of sacrifice, the ways of Christ, you need that. You'll have total chaos without it. But I'm telling you what John the Baptist told you, what Christ told you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And these things will be provided through faith, hope, and charity. Because someday, mammon, the unrighteous mammon, will fail. What is mammon? In our little question page that I've kind of followed as a guideline for the making of these audios, we talk about civil law. We talk about mammon. What is civil law? Do you understand what civil law is? Civil law is the law that men make for themselves. Now, there are lots of different ways to do that. One way is to do it with precedent. Courts, 12-man juries, decide fact and law. They don't legislate law, but they decide law in a case. Now, if they decide wrongly, you can appeal upwards in a system, a network of courts that may say, well, his rights were not recognized. This was a miscarriage of justice. They can't bring a conviction where there was none, but they can overturn a conviction where there was one done unjustly. Israel had the same thing. They called it the cities of refuge. They weren't actually cities where all the bad guys went. They were civil structures, and it was composed of the Levite ministers, men of service, men who took care of the welfare of the people in pure religion through the free will offerings of the people, through sacrifice, that altered the nature of society. See, if you don't do it through free will sacrifice, if you do it by force, then men who exercise authority will take control. Men who seek power over others will seek the offices of power that you create to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, and you will go under tyranny. Always happens that way. I cannot change that. I do not want to change that. What I want to do is change your heart, that you turn around and seek the ways of righteousness, the ways of Christ, where you decide fact and law based on the leading of the Holy Spirit instead of your own selfishness. So we have a number of links on that page, and it tells you different quotes. You know, Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And Matthew 20:23, and he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Who is of his Father? Are we children of God? Are we walking in the ways of God? Are we seeking the righteousness of God? Christ was not going to appoint new porters of the temple. He was not going to appoint men who could exercise authority over you. He was going to give you back your responsibilities to exercise authority yourself. This is the ways of the kingdom. It is the perfect law of liberty. Mammon is entrusted wealth. It's not necessarily money, but in the case of, you know, most countries use paper money now. And the paper money is a note talking about the wealth being somewhere else. At one time, they issued money that was redeemable in lawful money, meaning that paper money is not lawful money. It's legal tender. Legal meaning binding, tender meaning offer. But it's not lawful money because it's redeemable in lawful money. Lawful money is something of substance. It used to be the word cash referred to coin, gold and silver coins and copper coins. Notes were not called cash. They were called notes. Language has changed, and through sophistry, we have a lack of understanding. But mammon is entrusted wealth. You have You have gold or silver in some vault somewhere, and somebody issues notes based on that. But then they got the idea, well, issue notes based on the value of your labor that you have not yet done, that you will become the collateral for debt. First, maybe your property, your lands, became collateral for debt. And then your children and you became collateral for debt. And that's why every child in every country born and registered in that country is now collateral for debt. They're born $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 in debt, depending on what country you live in. They are part of the mammon, the entrusted wealth. But it's an unrighteous thing because it's based on covetousness. It's based on what the Old Testament refers to as one purse. You know, well, let's all have one purse. Don't consent to them, but you have. And through that covetousness, you've been made merchandise and you have a master. But you cannot serve two masters. Does that mean that you must betray the one to go to the other? No. When you were in Egypt, you were in bondage in Egypt and you had to pay your tally of bricks. When you were in bondage in Judea to the Romans or whatever, then you had to pay your tribute. The slothful should be under tribute and you should pay it. But if you seek the kingdom of God, then you will start doing things differently and you will eventually be cast out. I had a discussion today with one of our ministers who was talking about the government being the problem, the people who have infiltrated the government. I said, no, they are not the problem. They are only there because evil has infiltrated our own hearts, the hearts of the people. Governments will not change until people change. We must repent. That's why Jesus didn't say change the government. Let's get all those corrupt people in Jerusalem and get rid of them. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Let's start living by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Let's start making our daily sacrifice to men who want to serve, who are in love with service, who love their neighbor as themselves, who love their congregations, who will sacrifice themselves for others. Are you willing to do that? Maybe you should be a minister. What are we doing? Are we repenting? Are we seeking the ways of Christ? Well, until we do, peace on your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.